time to invest in young people, because that's exactly what we're doing, investing in something, and we praise the Lord for that. Well, I'd like to make something available to you out on the lobby, on the table, rather, in the lobby. There are, we'll show a picture over here in just a little bit, but a track that has some mountains right here in our mountains, and then the word home in large letters, and there's one that's a track size about big enough to put in your pocket, and then there's one that's a business card size. And both of them have a QR code on them that you can scan with your smartphone. Just take a picture of it, and it will take you to a site on our website. And so what we've envisioned is this being handed out, like I said, on the larger one. The gospel is out, the 4 points of the gospel, and then also the QR code that asks you to scan it. And it'll take you to the video that you're going to see on this small one. It's just a business card, and it's got the QR code where you can just leave that in with maybe a bill or leave it with something and some maybe pique somebody's interest to watch this video. And so I'm going to have them show this now, and that's what the video, that QR code, will lead you to. Oldest established church in Tennessee. I'm here on Buffalo Mountain, such a beautiful spot. Right here in Northeast Tennessee is my favorite place to live. It's our home. I'm Pastor. What we've done is, it's an identical picture on the front of the large one and the small one, and when we get it up here, we wanted some way that you could just leave something, and most everybody, I know not everybody in this room, there's people that don't, but most everybody's got a smartphone, and all it takes is just you to take the picture on that, or you put it over your camera, and then it will give you a spot that you can touch and go right to our website and show this video. So you have that ready yet, or you want to wait till later? Okay. All right. Later. So we'll get that in just a little bit and show that to you. But we want it to be an effective tool that we can use, and I'll lay them here so don't forget. We want it to be an effective tool that we can use to get the gospel out through any form that we can. And so it'll be a written track and then a video one as well. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into the book of Galatians tonight. I meant to announce it tonight, this morning, so that you would know, but I failed to, and we'll get started tonight, and we'll do it for several weeks. I'm not sure exactly how long, but we'll go for several many weeks on the book of Galatians, and Lord willing, we'll preach through that. Now, undoubtedly, we'll have some breaks because somebody may come in as a special guest or something like that, but we'll be in Galatians for a while, just preach through it. The Galatians, these people, we'll learn this as we look through and preach through the book. They launched their experience by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved. But then, as often happens, there were some false teachers that came in amongst them, trying to teach them and imply to them that works were needed to maintain that salvation, or, well, are you sure you got it if you don't have some works that go along? And can I just say, like the book of James says, that you show me your faith without your works, or I'll show you my faith by my works. Good works should go along with faith. We all understand that. But nobody is saved. That's what the kids just sang about. Not by works that we do. We understand that they are filthy rags. If anybody's counting on the membership of this church or your good life or anything, we understand that that might as well be, that trust might as well be placed in something that's so far-fetched that nobody's ever heard of, because even though we've heard of good works, it certainly won't get you to heaven. But the Galatians, they launched their experience by faith, but they seem to want to chart a new course, and now this new course include some works. And so this epistle is a defense of the gospel of faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And so remember that you, as in your life, you never got saved. Nobody's ever been saved by completing a certain amount of works or by living a certain way. Again, I live a certain way because I am saved, but you never get saved because you live a certain way. And so may we always remember that, and so much so that God puts it in the book of Galatians. And so this gives the basics here as we'll work our way through these few chapters in the book of Galatians. Father, bless us now is our prayer, and as we read these first few verses, really of introduction tonight, I pray that it will come clear over these next weeks and just drive it down deep. I believe that most everybody in this room understands that salvation is by grace through faith. But dear Lord, we still need to reinforce those things, even those ones that we know. And I trust, dear Lord, that this message, this study, will be a blessing tonight, and then the following messages as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read the first five verses. This is basically the salutations, the greeting that the Apostle Paul uses. And you understand when anybody from this pulpit says, well, Paul said this or Peter said that. We understand that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's not an alarming thing. If God can supernaturally inspire his word, then he can also use some of his people to pen those words down. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we'll get started tonight in this defense of the gospel of faith. And this apostle gives the basis of why God's using him to write this. Paul, an apostle, not of men. And so as Moses led the people of Israel out of the bondage, it seems as though in this case that Paul's going to lead the people, at least of Galatia here, out of the spiritual bondage of works, that somehow you do something that's going to give you favor with God. Can I just tell you that God's good to us no matter how we live? We do live certain ways because of our faith in Jesus Christ, but never be in error to think that, wow, somehow God's really going to love you if you live a certain way. Can I put it like this? God already really loves you. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. He was loving us way before we even thought about what we could do, should do, or wanted to do. And so the opening verses are going to clear off a spot for this grace, this faith that we're talking about. So let me give you a few points in the lesson tonight, and we've got an exciting business meeting that I trust will be a blessing to you afterwards, and we'll try to cram it all in and get this video to you as well before we leave, and we'll get a lot in tonight. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 1, Paul knew who he was and who it was that set him up. Who it was that set him up in business, so to speak. You know, there's different folks that they've got a business going, but the reason they have a business is because somebody before them said, I'm going to help you get started. And you thank the Lord. That's a mentor. That's a trainer. That's somebody who helps you in that family business. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. So if we first of all see that he knew who he was, and he knew that he was nothing. You remember in another passage, he said that he was the chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so it was very clear to the Apostle Paul, because of the life he'd lived and because of the struggles he'd had already, or still yet, I should say, because of those struggles, he knew who he was and who established him. But look at how it's emphasized here in that first verse. Not of men. I didn't get this position because somebody said I'd be good for it. I didn't get this position because somebody gave me a recommendation. Often people will call and say, hey, do you know so-and-so? And I say, yeah, why do you ask? And usually I'm able to say, well, yeah, they're a good member of our church. Sometimes people will call and say, do you know so-and-so? He's inquired of us about being our pastor. And so the Apostle Paul says, I didn't get this job because somebody gave me a good reference. I didn't get this job by men nor of man. And may we never forget that your standing is your standing in Christ. Do you know what the danger of somebody getting to be a good church-going Christian is? They're a good church-going person. And if we're not careful, we start looking down our long nose at those people who aren't good church-going people. Can I tell you the only difference between you and somebody else who's not doing what you are or is doing what you're not is the grace of God. Amen. And we do ourselves a great favor if we knock ourselves down a few notches and not think that we're something high and mighty, because my friend, except for what God's done a work in you, you're not much, and neither is your pastor. He says that I'm not this apostle by the will of man nor of men, but of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So it was important for the Apostle Paul to realize that he was an apostle, not of men, but look at what the phrase says, but by Jesus Christ. And can I just drive it in on us tonight? If you ever hope to get to heaven, it won't be because you went through some religious activities. It won't be because you helped people in your neighborhood or even at this church. It will be by Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. You get the same answer as I do when I talk to people and say, are you on your way to heaven? Oh yeah, I think so. And then they start giving me their pedigree because I've done this. As I was baptized down at the Baptist church, and I was this, and I was this. And sometimes, though, people in their confusion leave out the one necessary item, and that is because my faith is in Jesus Christ alone. And that's hard for a preacher to say, because I want people to do much more than just get saved. I want them to come and attend Sunday school, and I want them to come and sing in the choir, and I want them to come and help with the ushers. I want them to come and get on a bus route. I want them to come and teach in Sunday school. I want them to come and do all those things. But sometimes in our eagerness to get people involved, we've implied that somehow when you do those things, somehow you're more favored by God, or maybe you're more right and ready to go to heaven. My friend, you don't get to heaven by being a Sunday school teacher. We get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. He's an apostle, not of men, but by Jesus Christ. Do you understand there's no uh-ohs with God? The Apostle Paul was directly prepared and readied by God to do what he'd done. I like to think about it like this. God has jobs. God makes people that he created, and he says, I've got some of them that I want to come and do this. You know, we just came through, finished last Sunday night about our spiritual gifts, equipped to serve. And God says, I know how I want my church, and I'm going to give these people these spiritual gifts, and those people that one, and that one, that one, and that one, that one, so that they can all work together for his glory. God's got jobs that he wants done, and he raised up the Apostle Paul to do it. Sometimes we unfortunately look at that and we look at things today and we see how wicked they are and how bad of shape everything is. And we said, boy, oh boy, what's God going to do? Can I remind you that God hasn't he's had lots of sleepless nights because he neither slumbers nor sleep, but not because he was worried. He doesn't stay up late at night worrying, chewing his fingernails as if he has. And I say that totally reverent just to show you a point that God's not worried about that. He is setting up the people who he needs to set up, and his will is being played out. And this will right here, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. God has jobs he wants done. He made certain people for that jobs and those jobs. And I believe the Apostle Paul could do his job better than anybody else could. One of his contemporaries who he had to address and speak to the face about was the Apostle Peter. And Peter had his job, Paul had his job, but God set them both up. So I say to you tonight, number one, he knew who he was and he knew who set him up. And then I see this in verse number two. Not only did he know who he was, but he also knew who he wasn't, if I could put it this way. Look in verse two, if you would. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He knew not only who he was because God set him up in that position, but he knew who he wasn't, and that was he wasn't the high potentate. He wasn't the high and lofty one. He wasn't God's gift to the church of Galatia. He wasn't the wonderful apostle that everybody's not worthy to touch the hem of his garment. He wasn't any such of those things. Look at what it says, and all the brethren are with me. In one way, Paul just said, we all a bunch of Christians over here, and we all give you greetings. A friend of mine, he said that somebody came through their church and he was talking about, he named our church. And he said, that's John Herdman's church. And I told my friend later, I said, it isn't my church. I wouldn't take responsibility for that because that's not my job. It's the Lord's church. It was going long before I was ever here and long before Preacher Lassie was here and Brother Jody was here. God had a will for this thing to go on. And I'm very humbled to hold the position I do, but I realize I'm one of many people that get to make up this great church. And that's what the apostle says here. And all the brethren which are with me. Now, if that had been written by some average preachers that you and I know of today, they'd have said, listen, I've got an entourage. Yes, I've got a group of people that would do anything I want. But now what I really want to say is me, the most important one, me, myself, and I'm giving you these greetings. And the Apostle Paul says it the other way. He says, and all the brethren which are with me. Yes, I'm an apostle of not of men, neither by man, but by the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, and the men that are with me. He said, we've got several here that want to salute you. I see, first of all, he knew who he was, but then he knew who he wasn't. Did you ever know somebody who's the hero of every story they tell? Let me tell you what I did and how everybody else messed it up, but I came in, I saved the day. I know some pastors like that. I know some people like that. But we don't have to be the hero of every story. But if anybody had the right to brag, I believe it would have been the Apostle Paul. Well, he had a lot going on. And so he teaches us, even in these casual lessons, he teaches us it's not a good thing to brag. He said there's a lot of Christians bought by the same blood that I'm bought by that want to salute you and say hello to you. He realized he wasn't the only one. I see not only did he know who he was and he knew who he wasn't, but then we're going to look at verses 3 down to 5 and see what he really knew, and that was he knew his message. Grace be to you. And peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just stop and say, not in my notes, but in verse number 3, we see that a lot of people in our world want peace. But what does peace come after? The first word of the verse is what? The first word is what? Grace. Peace comes after grace. And there's a lot of people in our world who say, oh, I just love to have peace. Let's love to get all that pushed out aside. Peace, let's put all that fighting aside. Well, peace comes after grace enters. Because a work of grace is done in our hearts. We're getting ready to come into Christmas season here before long. Christmas is not as early or not coming quick as Hobby Lobby thinks it's coming, because they've been having their decorations out for a long time. But it's coming. Peace on earth. You say, preacher, this world isn't full of peace. Well, it is for the Christian. Because a work of grace has been done in the heart of a believer in Jesus Christ. And so because of grace, then peace can come. And that's why the apostle gives it to these people. Grace be unto you. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that he knows his message, because not only do we see that in verse number 3 about grace, but then in verse number 4, look at this, it talks about who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. As the apostle starts fixing this crowd that wants to creep in with some work salvation, as the apostle wants to correct their doctrine and make sure that they understand you got saved by faith, you got saved by grace, you're going to be kept by grace, you're not going to get anything else by works, it's just going to be by grace all the way through. And so as he starts this on fixing this work salvation crowd, he tells this message loud and clear. The only message we've got to preach is a grace gospel message. There isn't another one. Well, not a true one anyways. And any mixture of works makes it a work salvation, not a grace. You say, oh, no, I believe you're saved by grace, but now you have to live a certain way. That's what a lot of our friends say. You understand, if you're not able to get your salvation to begin with, what makes me think I'm able to keep my salvation after I got it? So if I can't work to attain it, I'm not going to be able to work to maintain it. And so may we understand that the Apostle Paul understood what his message was. That message of grace. And that message of grace is that message of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. A pastor friend of mine, his mom has since went to heaven, but before she went to heaven, she had developed Alzheimer's. And so as his mother would, they would take him out for different trips and activities and things, and they were at a McDonald's, I believe it was some fast food. And this dear saint of God, whose mind was well nigh gone, I guess, by this point. He said this pastor friend had not been watching because he was doing something else, but his mother was going from booth to booth telling people about Jesus Christ. And he said, I couldn't help but just listen for a little while, and I was going to go stop her, but he said, I just listened to my sweet mom, and she told the right story every time. And then he said, Mom, let's come on, let's let them eat, because it wasn't the time or the place right then for that. But she had been so used to giving the true message of salvation by grace, plus nothing, minus nothing, that she still gave it, even though her mind wasn't what it should be. And the Apostle Paul gave the message. He didn't waver. He gave that message. And sometimes we in churches, we get it clouded. We give a smoke screen. And we give the message, yes, Jesus is the answer. But now after Jesus is the answer, I want you to do some of these works as well. One commentator said it like this about the book of Galatians. He said this, Judaism was the cradle that brought grace into the world. Jesus Christ of Jewish descent. But this commentator said, and that same Judaism was attempting to be the coffin of salvation by grace as well. Because those Judaizers, after they would see people that came to faith in Christ, they would say, my words, not any of theirs. Good for you. Now let's get back into some of these rituals, because you need to do these to stay right with God. Circumcision and the eatings and the cleansings and all of those things. But the Apostle Paul knew his message. And verse number 5 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. They say, start out like you want to finish. And the Apostle Paul starts this lesson out, this message out, this book out to the Galatians, the way that he wants to finish. As it were, Paul lays all the cards on the table and says, here's what it is. It's either all by grace, or it's not grace at all. And grace is the message that is driven home in this epistle. You see, the message of grace keeps you or I from bragging. The message of grace, the Bible says, the grace of God shed abroad on every heart, every person. It kicks out that idea that some people are going to be predestined to go to heaven and some people are going to be predestined to go to hell, that's somehow decided by God and you don't have anything to do with it. We understand that grace is shed abroad to all men. That kicks out that doctrine. That also kicks out that doctrine that, well, he's good, but now he just ain't really what he's supposed to be. Can I just tell you, ain't none of us really like we're supposed to be? Any of you all stayed on the perfect track since you got saved? I know that this one fella said, I really, really wanted to meet my my wife's first husband, because he must be one dandy of a man, because I've heard that he does everything right. Well, he didn't either. And so grace is what the message is to those of us who know our frailties. And grace is the message to every Christian. And as we begin this lesson in Galatians, may we understand that the Apostle Paul, he knew who he was. I'm an apostle. No man put me up in this position, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. But he also knew who he wasn't. In some ways, I'm one of the guys. And that's what every Bible-believing preacher, teacher says, that yes, God's called me for a specific task, and me, as the pastor of this church, God has called me for a specific task, but there's no difference. You don't need a priest, and I couldn't be one. We got our great high priest. We can all come to the Lord without the assistance of somebody else. The Apostle Paul knew who he wasn't. And then most of all, he knew his message, and that message was of grace. So as we start on this lesson, and we start on these messages, I challenge you, read ahead, you can get look into the Word of God as well. But the gospel of faith is what the Galatians started out in, and just like happens with many cults today, many cults will scarf up somebody who's been saved. Somebody's been saved, born again by faith in Jesus Christ, and then they'll come and they'll take them from there and try to teach them doctrines that are extra biblical. Because when you stay in the Scriptures, you'll be grace all the way from the beginning, all the way to the end. As Brother Dan taught the song the other night, grace, new grace. We start off in grace, and grace will lead us all the way. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, we thank you for this time to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the great beginning to a wonderful book. And Lord, these Galatians that got off track and started to look at something more than just the simplistic faith in Jesus Christ. Are we sure that can be so simple? The answer resounded back to them, yes, it's that simple. They want to chart a new course, but you put them back on the course that's the right one. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Now, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Here's the invitation. Maybe you've been guilty of adding some works to the gospel of grace through faith. Maybe you've been guilty of thinking that, well, somebody that they ought to be living different than that. I don't know about all. Let's just stick with what the Scripture says. And if you need to do business with God, I pray that you would. And then perhaps you're here on a Sunday night and I've preached enough gospel to let you know that there's only one way to heaven. It's not by joining this church or attending it so many Sundays in a row. The only way to heaven is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the grace of God. Somebody's made the acrostic of grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God made a way for you and I to go to heaven. And if you're not sure you're saved, then I ask you to accept Christ as your Savior tonight. Father, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of everyone here this evening and everyone listening in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to, and as the ladies play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Listen, friends, I would check up on myself. Don't think that you'll get to heaven because you've always been in church. Don't think you'll get there just because it's been a real ritual for you for years. There's only one way, and that's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew it well. Grace got a hold of him there on that road, and he was never the same. If you're here tonight, not sure of heaven being your home, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel, standing right in front of the pulpit that I preach from, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Well, thank you so much. You may be seated, and I do want to, as I mentioned before, we've got several things to do, and I understand I've tried to cut it just a little short for, I'm going to show you this video, it was supposed to be before, and I've been right on time, then we're going to show you one before Danny comes up, and I want to share something with you that, as the deacons and myself have been meeting about some mission projects I think we should get involved with, but As I mentioned before, you'll see on the table out in the lobby when you leave, there are these three by fives or so, probably 3.5 by 5.5 cards, and they have the gospel on the back of them, and they have a, it's up there on the screen, home, that's the front of it. That correlates with a small one, a business card size, and it does not have the gospel on the back. It would have been so small we couldn't get it on there, but it has a QR code. And this one as well has a QR code. And my thought being that you take some and you may have an opportunity to leave one of them and have somebody watch a video. And so we were privileged to make a video just up on a beautiful spot here not too far from the church. And that QR code on either one of these pieces of literature will take you to this video, and we'll see that now. I'm Pastor John Herdman. I have the privilege to pastor the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's the oldest established church in Tennessee. I'm here on Buffalo Mountain, such a beautiful spot. Right here in Northeast Tennessee is my favorite place to live. It's our home. I wanted to chat with you for just a little while about home. It brings such good memories when you hear that word. It's great after a long trip to get back to your own bed, to your own home, probably because of the familiar surroundings and then the love that the people have for you in that home. But it's great to be here. I think about as a pastor is that I believe everybody ought to have a home. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is home to hundreds and hundreds of people, but a church home is needed because it gives you people to pray for you. It gives you people to support you. It gives a place for you to have community, a church home. But the most important home that I could tell you about is a heavenly home. The Bible says that God was not willing that any should perish. That means that He didn't want anybody to miss heaven or miss a heavenly home. But we all understand ourselves and on our own merit, we're not worthy of heaven. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we've missed the mark. It goes on to say in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. So the teaches because of our missing mark, we're not good enough for that heavenly home, but instead we deserve separation from God in a poor place called hell. But the Bible says in Romans 5, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commendeth just means demonstrated or proved. He proved that He loved us. So that, my friend, means that even though our sinful condition left us hopeless, Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, was born and rose again so that we could enjoy a heavenly home. The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I challenge you right there where you're watching this video from, if you're able to, that you would do what the Bible says and call out to Jesus Christ. Turn to Him and ask Him for forgiveness of your sins and allow you to have a wonderful heavenly home. If you've done that, I also challenge you to let somebody know about it. Maybe a family member, maybe a friend that you know goes to church and would love to hear it. If nothing else, we'll put the contact information on the screen here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Email us, call us. We'd love to hear from you and would rejoice about your heavenly home that you've secured. Thank you for letting me talk to you for just a little while about home. I trust that it's been a blessing to you, and I thank you for your time. God bless you. We just want to get the message of the gospel out of any way we can. And so I challenge you to take some of those with you. Like I said, some of the written gospel on the back, others these business card size. You think about what application you could use them for, what place you could put those, and please take those and use them for the glory of God, and we'll certainly be blessed because of that. Well, we got to see a video there. If you remain seated a little bit longer, I want to see if we can show a few pictures of a mission project that we helped with Brother Philip Ninen, and Brother Philip Ninen is...